This is the NBC Theater. From the NBC Theater in Hollywood, a story by Mark Twain, a story of delicious revenge entitled The Man That Corrupted Hadleyburg. The adaptation is by Jack C. Wilson. Here now, The Man That Corrupted Hadleyburg.
It was many years ago that there was a town called Hadleyburg. That's right, Hadleyburg. No, it's not on the map anymore, and I'll tell you why. Now, some towns are noted for their industries, some towns for their scenic wonders, and some towns for their historic landmarks. But Hadleyburg was famous for its honesty. That was its pride and joy. For instance, the town motto on its official seal was, "Lead us not into temptation." But unfortunately, it wasn't always a friendly town. That's how it happened that a certain stranger passing through Hadleyburg got the idea that he'd been insulted. He was the kind of a fellow to bear a grudge. And as he wandered about the country, he tried to figure out some way to get even.
I'd give anything to get even with that miserable Berg. If I could just get the right idea, I'd like to teach every hypocrite in Hadleyburg a lesson. That's it. I've got it. I'm going to corrupt the whole town. I'll make them so ashamed they'll never get over it.
On a dark night some months later, the stranger drove up to the little house of the old cashier of the Hadleyburg Bank and knocked on the door.
Come in.
Good evening, madam. Is Mr. Richards home?
Why, no, not just now. He was called away on business.
Well, it makes no difference. I'd just like to leave this sack in his care. May I bring it in?
Why, yes, I suppose so.
Very well. I'll just put it here behind the door.
My land must be heavy.
Yes, it is, but... Well, not as heavy as the debt I've been carrying. I want your husband to deliver this sack to its rightful owner.
He'll be here directly. Won't you sit down and wait?
No, thank you. It won't be necessary for me to wait. I'm a stranger to your husband, Mrs. Richards. Just a stranger passing through town.
Oh.
But I have a debt of honor here, and I'm sure your husband will discharge it for me. This note will explain the whole thing. Now I must go.
But wait! I don't understand!
Good night, madam.
Land, I never heard of such a thing, and rushing off that way. Goodness, I wonder what the note says. This sack contains gold coin worth $40,000. Good heavens, $40,000.
Old Mrs. Richards was too upset to make much sense out of the letter. I can't say I blame her, because this is what the stranger had written.
I am a foreigner, and am returning to stay in my own country. But before I go, I must repay a kindness that was done to me in Hadleyburg a year or two ago.
Why, that's a shameful lie.
At that time, I was a ruined gambler. I arrived in Hadleyburg at night, broke and hungry. On a dark side street, I begged a man for help, and he gave me $20. That $20 saved my life and brought me luck, too. Out of it, I made a fortune by gambling. I don't know who that man was, but I'm sure that I can trust your honest town to find him. He can be identified by the remark he made to me when he gave me the money. You'll find that remark in a sealed envelope in the sack of gold. I suggest that you publish these facts in the local paper, and then, 30 days from now, let any candidate for the repayment appear at the town hall to claim his reward. Have him hand his remark to the Reverend Mr. Burgess, and let Mr. Burgess check this remark against the statement I have sealed in the sack. To the man who thus proves that he made the remark, turn over the $40,000 in gold.
Oh, Edward, I'm so glad you're back. Did you see Mr. Cox at the newspaper?
Yes, and he's putting out a special issue of the paper.
I've been thinking about something, Edward, ever since that stranger was here.
And I'll bet I know what you're thinking, Mary. Who was the man who gave the stranger the $20?
And I think I know who it was.
Well, I think I know, too. There's only one man it could have been.
Barclay Goodson. You remember how careless he was with his money.
He always called the rest of us a mean and stingy lot.
I don't like to speak ill of the dead, but I must say I never liked Barclay Goodson, the way he always seemed to be jeering and laughing at us.
Yes, perhaps he's still laughing at us. Here Hadleyburg has a $40,000 reward for a dead man. And that man the most hated in town. Except maybe the Reverend Burgess.
But doesn't it seem odd to you, Edward, that the stranger appointed Burgess to deliver the money?
Odd? Perhaps.
We all know what Burgess did to disgrace himself.
Mary, Burgess isn't the scoundrel that most people think.
Really, Edward? Well, no one has ever denied what Burgess did.
No, but he didn't do it. I could have cleared Burgess of the charges against him. But the town was so worked up that... Well, I didn't have the courage to take his part.
I can hardly believe what you're saying, Edward. Why, if this is true, why is Mr. Burgess so friendly toward us?
He doesn't know that I could have saved him. You know, when they were going to ride Burgess on a rail, I went and warned him.
But, Edward, what if the people had found out that you warned Burgess?
Oh, they wouldn't have believed it. They wouldn't have liked it. But they won't find out now. Because everyone believes that Barclay Goodson was the one who helped Burgess. And Goodson has been dead for 6 months.
Are you sure they all think it was Goodson?
Yes. They asked about it and he never denied it. He just said it was none of their business who warned Burgess.
Thank goodness.
If it could be proved that Goodson deserved the money, it would make the town a laughingstock.
But they can't find out, Edward. Barclay Goodson isn't here to tell what he said to the stranger. Oh, Edward, maybe you shouldn't have been so hasty in giving the letter to the paper.
But it said to publish it. What else could I do?
I know that's what it said. But as long as the right person can't get the money, it wouldn't have hurt if... Well, if we... Oh, Edward.
Now, Mary, you know that I couldn't have kept the money a secret.
I don't blame you, Edward. We've been taught nothing but honesty. Honesty. We've been so shielded from every temptation that now that a real temptation has come, I don't know what to think.
Why, Mary, you know Hadleyburg's... Mary, I have to admit that I've been thinking the same thing that you have. After all, no one has a better right to the money than we do. It was brought to us first by fate.
Now it's too late. That is... Unless... I guess it's no use thinking.
Thinking what, Mary?
What else is there to think about with $40,000 to be had for the answer?
Yes. What in the world would Goodson have said when he gave the stranger the $20?
In other households all over Hadleyburg, man and wife discussed the remarkable situation. Here's what one typical couple said on the first night after the news came out.
Good night, John.
Good night, Helen.
Oh, John.
Yes, Helen.
Who do you think will get the money?
Nobody knows.
It seems a shame if nobody claims it.
Well, they say it was probably Barclay Goodson.
That's what I heard, too.
I wonder what it could be that he said to the stranger.
Why, John, what do you mean by that? What are you thinking about?
Oh, I was just wondering.
Well, forget about it this very instant. It's a sinful thing to think. After all, the money's not yours, and you know it.
And on the second night, they said,
you know, if a person could only guess what Goodson said to the stranger... Oh, my.
That's ridiculous, John, and you know it.
Yes, but if a person only could...
Well, there's no use thinking about it. I don't suppose. Mm. Go to sleep, John.
And on the third night, they said...
After all, I knew Barclay Goodson as well as anybody in this town. I wonder what he would say when he gave a stranger $20.
What do you suppose he would say, John? What do you think he might say?
I don't know, Helen. I just don't know.
Oh, dear. If you could only guess.
Three weeks passed until there were only 7 days left before the town meeting when the money must be claimed. Then one evening, old Mr. Richards went home from his work at the bank and found his wife lying on the bed, crying.
Mary! Mary! Oh, Mary, what is it? What's wrong?
The letter, Edward. The letter there on the bureau. It just came.
But, Mary, what is it? Tell me.
I can't, Edward. It's too wonderful.
Oh, Mary, please tell me. What does it say?
Oh, leave me alone, Edward. I'm too happy. Read the letter, Edward. Read it.
Let me see. This is written to you by a stranger, but I feel honor-bound to write you.
Oh, hurry on, Edward, hurry.
I have just heard about the Hadleyburg episode
and have this to tell you. Of course, you do not know who made the remark, for I am the only living person who does know. It was Goodson, as you may have guessed. The incident occurred on a dark side street as we were walking to his home. He made the remark to a stranger whom I do not know. In fact, I scarcely saw him in the darkness. However, I do remember Goodson's words, for we discussed them as we talked later in his home. During that talk, he mentioned a number of neighbors, including yourself. I'm almost sure that he said you had once done him a great service, perhaps without your knowing the full value of it. And he said that he wished he had a great fortune to leave, so that when he died, he could will it to you, along with a curse on the rest of the town. The point is, if it was you who did him this service, you were entitled to be his rightful heir. Therefore, knowing you as a citizen of honest Hadleyburg, I'm going to reveal to you the remark Goodson made. The remark was, "You are far from being a bad man. Go and reform."
Oh, it's wonderful, Edward. I'm so glad that you were kind enough to do him that favor.
Favor? Oh, yes. It was a lucky thing, wasn't it?
But you never told me anything about helping Barclay Goodson.
Well, no. You see, he made me promise never to tell... Never to tell a soul.
Well, let's not talk about it, Edward. Let's just be glad that you know the remark that Goodson made to the stranger.
On that same day, the postman of Hadleyburg was a busy man. He delivered a letter to each of Hadleyburg's leading citizens. Each envelope was different. Each letter was addressed by a different hand. But each of them began...
This is written to you by a stranger, but I feel honor-bound to write to you.
And each letter ended...
The remark was, "You are far from being a bad man.
go and reform.
Yes, every one of the leading citizens of Hadleyburg received the same letter. And right away, every leading citizen of Hadleyburg began to wonder just when he had done such a big favor for the late Barclay Goodson. It took a little thinking, but each one of them finally did remember. The most surprised man in town was the Reverend Mr. Burgess. Everywhere he went, someone was sure to come up to him and say,
"Here's an envelope, Parson. I've written down what I said to that stranger when I gave him that money."
"Very well, sir. I shall be glad to keep it until the meeting next Friday."
The little town hall of Hadleyburg couldn't hold many people, but on that Friday, as many crowded in as could, while the rest of the town gathered outside. The sack of gold stood on a table on the platform, and every eye was on it as the Reverend Mr. Burgess took charge of the proceedings.
"Friends, you all know the story of this sack of gold. A stranger has entrusted it to Hadleyburg, knowing the spotless honesty of you citizens, knowing that no man among you would claim a penny not his own."
"My goodness, Edward. I do wish he would open the envelope."
"Now, Mary, be calm. People are looking at us."
"I have here a letter from one of our leading citizens. I shall read it. It says, 'The remark which I made to the unhappy stranger was, you are far from being a bad man. Go and reform.'"
"Is that what you wrote, Edward?"
"I suppose so. It must be."
"Now I shall read the letter which the stranger placed in the sack of gold. If the two remarks match, I shall proceed to award the treasure."
"Oh, fine.
Why, there seem to be two notes here."
"Two notes?"
"This one says, 'Not to be examined until all written communications to the chair have been read.' This other one is marked 'The test.' And it says, 'The remark made to me by my benefactor was, you are far from being a bad man. Go and reform.'"
"Oh, Edward, I'm all a tremble.
Heaven forgive me for what I've done."
"The letter was written by Lawyer Wilson."
"Oh, Wilson!
Oh, Edward. Edward, what's happened?"
I don't know, Mary. I can't understand it."
"Oh, Edward."
"Thank you, my good friends and fellow citizens. I'm deeply touched by your joy in my good fortune. I'm happy to accept this award, humbly realizing that..." "Just a moment, Mr. Wilson, just a moment. Oh, perhaps I should have announced before that I have another communication from one of our leading citizens."
"Another communication?"
"This one reads, 'The remark I made to the unhappy stranger was, you are far from being a bad man. Go and reform.'"
"That's impossible to say."
"It is signed, Elias Pinkerton."
"Oh, Edward, what is it? What's the meaning of this? What is it, Edward?"
Mr. Chairman!
"The chair recognizes Mr. Pinkerton."
"Mr. Chairman, my friends, I am as shocked and surprised by this as any of you. I never dreamed one of our fellow citizens could stoop so low as to do this contemptible thing."
"What do you mean by that, Pinkerton?"
"There's only one possible explanation. Lawyer Wilson was in my office just after I wrote down the remark the stranger made to me. The unsealed letter was on my desk, and I was called out of the office for a few minutes."
"That's a lie. A mean, dirty lie."
"Wilson read my letter and copied it."
"That's an utter falsehood, Elias Pinkerton, and you know it."
"It's the only way you could have learned of my remark."
"I have something to say about that. I charge that you stole my letter from Mr. Burgess, made a copy of it, and signed your name."
"How dare you say such a thing?"
"I ought to punch you right on the nose."
"Just try it, you old fire."
Order. I must have order. No, I have here a letter from another of our leading citizens. It says, "The remark I made to the starving stranger was, you are far from a bad man. Go and reform.' And it's signed, Gregory Yates.
Gregory Yates.
And here's another says, the remark I made to the stranger was as follows. You are far from being a bad man. Go and reform.
How many letters are there?
Altogether, with those I have read, there are 19.
19.
Here's one by Oscar B. Wilder.
You are far from being a bad man. Go and reform.
One by one, the Reverend Mr. Burgess read off the names of those who had disgraced Hadleyburg. Poor old Mr. and Mrs. Richards counted off each name with sinking hearts. 15, 16, 17, 18.
Your name comes next, Edward. It's the last one.
Oh, forgive me, Mary.
What's the next one?
Forgive me.
I just have the next one. Quiet, please. Order. I must have made a mistake. It seems that I have read them all. There were only 18.
Oh, thank heavens.
However, there is still the matter of the stranger's second note. It is addressed to all citizens of Hadleyburg and says... This is to inform you that there was no test remark.
What?
Because no one gave me $20 when I was in your town.
I've never heard of anything like this in my life.
Instead, I was given insult and offense. To get even, I decided to show up your sham honesty.
This is the most amazing thing.
I knew it would be easy, because a virtue that hasn't been tested is no virtue at all. When I learned that Barclay Goodson was dead, I knew my plan would work. He was the only one among you who would do a stranger a favor. If I have succeeded in destroying your smug vanity, open the sack and divide its contents among all those who claim the reward. That's the end of the note, and I shall proceed to follow its instructions. Here is the sack, and here is the gold. Only I see that it isn't gold at all.
What, not gold?
These coins are gilded pieces of lead.
Mr. Chairman, I have a suggestion. I'd like to point out that we still have one leading citizen who is a credit to Hadleyburg. What's more, he and his elderly wife need money and deserve it. I'm referring, of course, to Mr. Edward Richards. Mr. Richards, you received the same information about the remark that the others did, didn't you?
Mary, what shall I say?
I guess you should say you did, Edward.
Very well. Yes. Yes, I did.
Yet you alone did not try to lie or cheat to get the reward. So I propose that we auction off those phony gold pieces for souvenirs and give Mr. Richards the money. And remember, those souvenirs will be worth plenty. Everybody in every town around here will want one to have the laugh on Hadleyburg.
Before the meeting ended, the gilded lead coins were sold for $10,000, and the money was given to old Mr. Richards and his wife. In the days after that, everyone congratulated the old couple and wished them well. But they seemed to act very strangely. They lived more and more to themselves. Mr. Richards didn't even go to the bank anymore. They were seldom seen out of their home at all.
Why don't you go for a walk, Edward?
No, I don't feel like it, Mary.
But you used to like to walk around town, Edward. You'd go to the barber shop or down to the depot or play checkers at the store. You never do those things anymore.
No, and I don't intend to. Everywhere I go, I see Burgess. Every time I step out of the house, I see Burgess.
But why should that upset you so?
Because he knows. He knows about my letter with the remark. He knows we don't deserve the money.
Well, he remembers that you did him a favor. You helped him escape.
Yes, but I could have cleared his reputation altogether. Maybe he knows that, too. He's done this to trick me. That's what.
Oh, do you really think he could do such a thing, Edward?
He's just waiting to take his revenge. That's it. I think he's already told some people.
Oh.
I can see it in their faces. The way they look at me.
Oh, Edward, it would be terrible if you were right.
Mary,
Mary, call the doctor. I don't feel well.
How is he, Doctor?
Not very well, Mr. Burgess.
It seems strange that both he and his wife should take ill at the same time.
I can't understand it. They've both been just fading away.
It's a shame. Just when they could start to enjoy life. May I go in and see him for a minute?
Well, it doesn't make much difference now. He's past my help. I'll go in with you.
Hello, Edward. Don't you know me? Your old friend?
Oh, it's you, Burgess. I wanted to see you. I wanted to tell you...
Perhaps you'd like to see Mr. Burgess alone. I'll go.
No, no, Doctor. No. Stay here. I want everyone to know this. I signed a lie. I claimed that miserable sack of gold.
Now, Edward...
Burgess knew I lied. He thought I'd done him a favor. He didn't read my letter.
And I'm glad I didn't, Edward.
Doctor... You remember the charges against Burgess years ago? Well, I could have saved him. But I was a coward. So I didn't speak.
Edward, it doesn't matter now.
Someone told you that, Burgess. I've been delirious lately. I must have mentioned it. Someone overheard. Overheard and told you.
No one has told me anything. And
now,
I swear it.
Now you're getting even. You're telling everyone about my letter.
On my honor, Edward, I never have.
I just want you to know... I want you to know that... I forgive you. I forgive...
You may as well go, Mr. Burgess. He's no longer with us.
Old Mrs. Richards passed away that same night, and so the story of the corruption of Hadleyburg was ended. You won't find the name of Hadleyburg on the map anymore, but you can find a town that has a strange motto on its official seal. The state legislature allowed Hadleyburg to change its name to... No, it wouldn't be fair to say. And as for the seal, the old town seal used to read...
Lead us not into temptation.
But the new town seal has one word changed. Instead of lead us not into temptation, it says...
Lead us into temptation.
You have heard a dramatization of The Man That Corrupted Hadleyburg by Mark Twain, as adapted for radio by Jack C. Wilson. In our cast today, the narrator was Gain Whitman, the stranger, Ted Von Eltz. Mrs. Richards was Gail Bonney, Mr. Richards, Earl Lee. A wife was Florence Ravenall, her husband, Jack Nestle. Reverend Burgess was Jim Nusser, Mr. Wilson, Joe Forte, Mr. Pinkerton, Frank Gerstel. Your announcer, Don Stanley. Be with us again at the NBC Theater a week from tonight when we will bring you a dramatization of The Withered Arm by Thomas Hardy. Executive producer for the NBC Theater is Wade Arnold. The director of the NBC Theater is Andrew C. Love. This program came to you from Hollywood. What do your children want to be when they grow up? Johnny a pilot? Mary a nurse? Both have a good chance of seeing their dreams come true. But what chance has the child crippled by infantile paralysis? We've just been through the second greatest epidemic in our history, and 75% of its victims are children. Your small change may mean their big chance. Fight infantile paralysis by sending dimes, dollars, to your local March of Dimes headquarters. Join the 1951 March of Dimes. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.